Where we left off last Sunday in our study, anyone recall where we left off what we studied? Church discipline is to restore, yes? Not to condemn, not to get rid of the person, but rather restoration. And during those three stages of church discipline, remember, we never discuss or bring up the word disfellowship. We never bring that word up, because prayerfully, God's desire is that we restore, restoration is to take place. So that is the principle. We said in stage two to ask others for help. Stage two to ask others for help. And Brother Lucky has mentioned it correctly. Matthew 18 and verse number 16 says, "But if you will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established." And so we say that if the offender refuses to make things right, then we may feel free to share the burden with one or two dependable believers. We should share the facts as we see them and ask the brethren for their prayerful counsel. After all, it may be that we are wrong. Yes. So quite often what happens is we can see things from our point of view, and we have a hard sometimes being objective. And so the purpose, remember this principle, as I said, God always sets a standard, and then he also regulates the abuse. God always sets his standard, and he regulates the abuse so that there is no abuse. That's where the two or three witnesses come in to say, "Well, brother or sister, I hear what you said, but have you considered what the Bible says? Maybe you're in the wrong in this case." So, because what's the biggest problem sometimes in human relationships? We assume a lot of things. Don't we assume a lot of things? And when we assume things, are we always right? No, we're not always right, because we come with our own biases. We have our own agendas. Sometimes it's some pain or some flaw in ourselves, and we don't always look at things objectively, okay? And so, if the brethren feel the cause is right, then together we can go to the offender and try once again to do what? To win him back, that's the purpose. And if the Bible says, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established, that is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15, and that was the law regarding witnesses. You are not to, and even today, in our courts of law, it is a criminal offense to charge someone or to sue someone for something that they haven't done. Yes? So you can be held in contempt of court. Well, so-and-so stole my money, and you're lying to the judge. That is a chargeable offense. And that didn't just start today. That is way back in the law of Moses to prevent people from bringing false claims, yes? I lived in America for a number of years, and in America, it's a sue-me country. Sue you, yeah? You do something wrong, say, "I'm gonna call my lawyer," and they mean it. And so, even here in the UK, we live in what we call a litigious society. So at this hearing, you have increased publicity and fraternal pressure. In Matthew 18, 16, the elders are not the disfellowshipping committee and have no right to this fellowship exclusively. This is not done behind closed doors. And so when sin is not dealt with honestly, it always spreads. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 6, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Sin starts off small. Whatever habit you have, it started off small. It didn't. Anybody ever heard the story of the elephant in the room? The elephant, anybody heard that story about the elephant in the room? No? Yes? It's a phrase. Well, what does it mean? Something unspoken. You know, there's a little secret or something going on. And so, how did the elephant get in the room? From the room. And what happened was that elephant grew up in the room. So, it started off small and you can walk around it. You know, you said, oh, this isn't he cute? And then it got a little bit bigger. And a little bit bigger, and you had to kind of size that, but now it's so big that you're crushed up against the wall. You know why? Because you didn't deal with the elephant when it was small. And so we know people have problems. We know we have problems. We've got issues. It's like that elephant in the room. We don't talk about that in here. Yeah? And then we wait until it gets big and out of control. Your children didn't start off rude like that. You didn't start off rude like that. And somebody didn't check you. What's the purpose of discipline? What is the purpose of discipline? The answer's in the word. It's to keep you within the lines. Yeah, you see those lines in the road? What are the lines in the road for? The oldest yellow lines and white lines, what are those lines on the road for? To do what? Separate, and what else? To keep you in line. Now, because some people look at them, these are just suggestions. You've got straight white lines, dashed white lines, yellow lines, red lines, they all mean something. They're to keep you in your line and me in my line. So when I come out of my line, guess what's going to happen? The Lord's going to have to show up and say, well, how did you get over here? Because that's not your line. Yes, in a relay race, you go in a marathon, you see the Olympics, and how do you get disqualified? How can you get disqualified in a race? When you do what? When you go outside the other one. On your mark, get set. The man didn't say go yet, and you're going. That's us. That's us. And so what's going to have to happen now, the referee is going to have to come and discipline you. He'll say, I'll give you a second chance. On your mark, get set, and you're still going. I have to say, go. Huh? A little leaven. And then guess what? If I let you go and don't say anything, guess what you're going to say? Well, you let Barbara do it. And you didn't say anything to her. So we need discipline. Yeah?
Okay?
Yes.
Your point E about the nature of eldership in the church.
Yes.
From our own understanding of scripture, the majority of the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, was saying things that are going to happen in the future.
Yes.
The church had not started then. The book of Acts encounter about the church.
Yes.
And we found that Paul was telling them to establish elders in the churches.
Yes.
To do one or two things about them.
Yes.
Then we need to know also the limit of the elder, because the role of elder goes a long way in the life of every Christian. But the Lord, they are to oversee.
Yes.
The church.
Yes.
The members of the church.
Yes.
And when you have an elder, that one is that you have not only one elder, you have multiple elders, and dealing that one with them. So, in the place that the brother here and everything, so what extent? For most time before they come to the church and tell the church that the brothers are not this strong, they have gone 90% of the work, probably within themselves, that everybody here does not know. And then they arrive to a conclusion that what this brother has heard for discipline or for correction, even if he doesn't need discipleship, they would have done that without the church being involved.
Yeah.
And when it got to know that they've done that best and the brother does not have remorse or is But you have the church, you have to just come to church and come to church that is that we said fellowship.
Yeah.
Or
yeah. So what Brother Lucky is saying is what at how much authority do elders have in terms of this fellowship? Do they have the right to say leave behind closed doors, discuss or dealt with a situation, and then they come to the church and say, you know, this brother is or sister is being this fellowship. Is that right? Now, an elder has different job descriptions.
Just a minute. I know that that's not working, though.
Yes.
They work with preacher.
Okay, yes.
Sometimes you have the condition where the preacher office and head guy in the same condition.
Yes.
Like
yes. Okay. So, the elder has different job descriptions. What are some of the other titles that an elder can have? He's a shepherd. Overseer. Bishop. Yeah, well, all of those are different job descriptions. So let's look at the role of a shepherd. Yeah, because in the book of Acts, is it Acts 20? When Paul called the Ephesian elders and he said, take heed to yourselves and over the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, shepherds. So he spoke to the elders, he told them to shepherd, and you're to oversee. There's three titles, but there's different roles that they play all for the same group of people. Now, in the world, you have different in denominations. They say there's all three different people. That's all the same person. Yes? So a shepherd's job is to, according to the 23rd Psalm, his job is to provide protection. It's also to provide correction. Yes? So the shepherd, in his role as an elder, when he's in among the sheep. So the shepherd's job, the elder's job, is to be in your business. Yeah? He knows what makes you tick. He takes you, he leads me into green pastures. He wants you to grow. He leads me beside the still waters. Now, you know, sheep are very timid, and they will not drink if they are starved. Yeah? So he creates the environment for them to flourish. Also, if they go outside the lines, what's going to happen? He's going to have to discipline. Yes? So, if we follow the model in Matthew 16, a brother has sinned against you. Now, how did those elders come to know that their brother was in sin? Did they sin against the elders personally? Okay, so that's the first problem. And this first problem, so somebody comes to the elders. This sister comes and says, Brother Smith stole my money. So the elders say, well, let's go over here and sort it up. What should they tell this sister? Have you spoken to Matthew 16:15? Go to him and tell him his fault. Have you done that, sister? Yes? So they don't just jump in and say, we'll sort it up for you. Because, guess what? That's something that needs to be worked out among two people. You remember the scripture says in Matthew, if you bring your gift to the altar, and you remember what? Something's not right between you and that sister over there. What are you to do? Leave your gift and go and what? Be reconciled. So the elder's job to say, you need to go and get reconciled with those two. Have you done that? And she says, yes. What did she say? Can you come with me? Huh? Can you come with me? Why? Verse 16, two or three witnesses. Now all the elders can get involved. What do you do? You have increased publicity. Ask others for help. The elders are not, the disfellowship committee have no right to this fellowship exclusively, because God has given that responsibility to each of us to work it out among ourselves. That makes sense? Yes.
Thank you. In Nigeria,
yes.
Once the man's discussion, letters are sent to all the congregation notifying them of the decision that has been taken by the church.
Yes.
And there was a case whereby a brother was wrongfully fellowship. And as a result, he cannot really worship in congregation
mean he can't come to church anymore?
No.
So the church has no, I can't say, stand in the door and say, let me check this rule, no, you can't come, you know, like the bouncer at the club, and he's checking your ID to see about whether you can come in there. We don't have any business telling people they can and can't come in here. This is a public place. But what does this fellowship mean?
To engage our activities again.
So I can't go to the mall with that person. I'm not to be going out to eat with that person. I'm not going on holiday with that person. Huh? That's this fellowship.
Is that what it means?
That's what it means. To not keep company with that person. So if you're on the bus and they get on the bus, are you together with the bus too? Yes. Okay. So what is your understanding of this fellowship?
I think my understanding of this fellowship means that if that person were among the officiating brothers or sisters in the church, the person could be asked to step down from that role.
Yes. So they're not going to be leaving.
Yes, I'm not aware of the fact that you're not supposed to associate with the person or maybe go to lunch with the person or come close to the person.
Let me tell you what I've seen. When I was first a Christian in Bermuda, we would have girl in line for the church. And they're inviting members that are not faithful to this fellowship. What is fellowship? So let's define what fellowship means. What is fellowship?
Two fellows in the ship.
Both rowing in the same direction. So if you're living in sin, and I'm not living in sin, I'll be going in the same direction. If your lifestyle is ungodly, I'll be going in the same direction. The fellowship that you have with people is your choice. Yes, and we're going to get to that as we go down and do these verses. And so, I'm going to be having lunch with you. Yeah, so if my purpose is to say, sister, we love you, God wants you back, and we're praying for you. If there's anything you need, we're not to be just acting as if everything's okay. Yes, because how are you going to win that person back if you're going to make that person uncomfortable? Yes, because they have made a choice. God has made a choice. Does that make sense?
By making them uncomfortable, does that not have the tendency to further drive them away from the kingdom?
Well, we're going to look at that. Okay. We're going to look at that because guess what? See, you know what the problem is? As human beings, we don't want people not to like us. And sometimes we compromise when we shouldn't compromise. And we don't compromise when we should compromise. Yes? So this person is not walking in lockstep with the Lord anymore. I cannot stop them from coming into the church building because this is a public place. Well, I can choose how I spend my time with that person. Yes? So we're gonna look at scripture. Sister Hannah, you have a question.
No, sister, I'm sorry.
Okay. Because you're thinking now. I like that. So, if a brother refuses to repent, what action is to be taken at stage two? What are we to do? According to scripture. Take it to church. Well, we've done two or more. Yeah? So that's verse number
16. Now it's 17.
17. If he refuses to hear them, that's you, the brother, and the two or three witnesses, is to do what? Tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. When we said stage three is to ask the church for help. Remember, our goal is not the winning of a cause, but the winning of a brother. Yes? What started as a private problem between two people is now out in the open and for the whole church to see. The matter is taken, the Bible says, to the church. And So when the church is informed, the whole church beats a path to the individual's door. Can you imagine? The whole church comes and shows up at your house because you are no longer in fellowship with her. Perhaps the person is living in sin, they refuse, they're no longer coming to church anymore. The church beats a path to that brother or sister's door. Yes? It is the body that cuts off the offending hand. That man cannot say that nobody cares, because how many people care? Everybody cares. Yeah? If by the time the matter comes to the whole church, the offender has not yet changed his mind and repented, he must be what? He must be disciplined. If a brother or sister has fallen away from the church, guess what they've done? Guess what they've done? They've broken fellowship. Yeah? So for you and me to be associated with that person, yeah, it's a choice you make. It would be going against the purpose of the discipline. It's to bring the brother back. Yes? He cannot be treated as a spiritual brother, for he has forfeited that position. He can only be treated as one outside the church, not hated, but not held in close fellowship. The Bible says, let him be to you as a heathen and a tax collector. We talked about that. What does that mean, a heathen or a tax collector? We talked about that last week. Yeah? These were people that the Jews looked down upon. They were Jews working for the Roman government. Yeah? So they were trying to play both sides. We can't play both sides. We need to make a decision. He who is not for me is against me. Yeah? So every decision is a decision. And no decision is a decision. Amen? Isn't that right? It's a decision. So ask others for help. And so, just as children in the home need discipline, the offender has not yet changed his mind and repented, then he must be disciplined. He cannot be treated as a spiritual brother, we say it. And so, here's the question. Stage one is to keep the matter private. This is the first hearing, it's one-to-one. Minimum publicity, no disfellowship at this stage. Stage two, ask others for help. This is just the second hearing. You want to take two or three witnesses. If the offender does not hear at the first stage, again, no disfellowship at this stage. Just it's discussed. Stage three, ask the church for help. This is the third hearing. The matter is taken to the whole church. The whole church beats a path to the door, and again, no disfellowship at this stage. Yeah. So the question is church discipline optional? Is this optional? Why? What if the person is your husband or wife? What does that look like? It's kind of awkward. But it's happened. It's happened. Yeah? And so the imperative or command is in 1 Corinthians 5:7. Paul says what? 1 Corinthians 5:7. I'm going to read that for us.
Therefore, put out the old leaven, that you may be a new norm, since the three are unleavened. Uh-huh. For indeed, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us.
What does purge mean? To cast out, to separate. Yeah? You cannot separate from the person here in a public place, but you can separate in private. And you know, brother, we love you. God wants you back. I'm sorry I can't come to lunch with you today. No, we can't do that. But we always got together on Tuesdays. No, we can't do that. Yeah. And so the surgical process. It's a surgical process. Back in Matthew 18. And verse number 18. The Lord says, assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What does that mean?
No, I said because in the context,
yeah.
Because the same issue is continuing from chapter 18,
yes.
Verse 18.
Yes.
So it's not that we are binding something new or something. It's yes. the procedure God has given to us that if you follow that procedure, that is the bind.
Yes.
That is the bind we are going to follow. So if you follow that one, then you have to use that as
okay.
Our standard. Okay. Yeah.
So the binding is practice in judgment.
Yeah.
And loosing is permitted. Yeah? You will practice on earth what God has in heaven. You don't have to make it up. You don't have to guess. It's all in there. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in
heaven.
Unfortunately, not until next week. So that means you gotta come a little bit closer to the front. Like a good students, we're gonna sit to the front.
Thank you.
Amen. So, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You need to understand what that means. We must therefore, as a church, practice what God has initiated in heaven. God has given you his instructions as to how we are to live. And those instructions come from heaven, and we must carry them out here on earth. That's what it means. I.e., if God breaks fellowship with the brother in heaven, if God breaks fellowship with the brother in heaven vertically, guess what we need to do? We need to, That's what that says. We must do the same horizontally. So here it is. Here's God. And here's your brother and your brother. And that's fellowship. Yeah? So, the brother refuses to repent, to change his ways. So we have a relationship with God two ways. Brother to brother and brother to God. Yeah? So, if a brother refuses to follow God's instructions from heaven, he breaks fellowship vertically. If I had fallen out with you, how can you say you are God who you have not seen and you hate your brother who you can't see? So that means I come to you one-on-one to say, God wants you back. You know, you need to change your ways. I brought with me two or three witnesses and you said no. The whole church has come and you said no. Guess what God does? God breaks fellowship. And guess what we've got to do? We've got to break fellowship too. Huh? Yes, Sister Lynn.
Responsibility. What happens in that situation? You end up leaving, going to worship somewhere else.
No, you have you have to pray for God's wisdom, because guess what? Now, in Bermuda, we have about three congregations. You got a lot of choices here in the UK. What if there's no other church to go to? We're gonna say, well, stay home? No, because this is the church with all the imperfect people. Yes, this is where your salvation is. So, you use the airplane example. You don't like the person you're sitting next to in the airplane. Do you say, let me out right here? No, you have to stay on board, because that's where your salvation is. Yeah, because God knows, and remember, it's the church, and we're going to answer that in the next verse. We're going to answer that in the next verse. Again, God always sets a standard, and he regulates the abuse. He always sets in place a safety mechanism. Yes, the checks and balances are already in the scriptures. Yeah? And so, God sets a standard, and we must carry out or bind his will here on earth. That makes sense? Mm-hmm. So, now that's your opinion. No, it's not my opinion. You don't have to like it. You don't have to understand it, but you must carry out this on. Yes? It's like when your sibling will say, Mama say to clean up that room. And so she didn't tell me, but she told me, you better get it done. And when she comes back, she's going to say to you, what? Didn't George tell you that I say you have to clean up that room? Huh? So whatever Mama binds, you better get it done. And whatever Daddy binds from heaven, you better get it done down on earth. Because when he comes back, all of us will have to give him an account as to whether or not we have carried out this assignment. And so, honesty is required. We must keep the local church spiritual. Keep the local church spiritual. It is important that the local assembly be at its best spiritually before it seeks to discipline a member. Because when I start judging you, what does the Bible say? Judge not that you be judged. For with the same measure that you... That's Luke 6:38. I'm mixing two scriptures. But does the Bible say not to judge people? No, it's how we judge. Yeah. So we need to look within. Have I done that before? Remember we talked about Galatians 6:1. What does Galatians 6:1 say? It says what? What does the Bible say? Galatians 6:1 says, if a brother is overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, lest you yourself be tempted. So when I go, I'm not going with pride. I do Daniel acts like it's perfect. So now I've got something on it now. No, don't go down there like that. Because that could be you. That could be you. Galatians 6:1.
Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in spirit of gentleness.
Gentle.
Consider yourself, lest you also be
tempted. Yes. So, when a church disciplines a member, it is actually examining itself and disciplining itself. Yeah? This is why the Lord added these words about authority, prayer, and fellowship. We cannot discipline others if what? If we ourselves are not disciplined. That elder, those two or three witnesses better be spiritual people that you're taking with you. Huh? That's why there are qualifications or qualities for elders. You remember that? Huh? Not a novice, apt to teach. Yeah. The elder must know this book. The evangelist is to guard the doctrine. The elders are to guard the souls. When the chief shepherd appears, that elder will have to give an account for every sheep on his watch, including the ones that were born astray. What did you do to go and get those sheep back? Well, we got rid of them. We wrote a letter, and told them nobody to associate with them. That's not in the scriptures, Brother Paul. The Bible has no example where a church writes to another church to say don't accept this person into fellowship. Wisdom says when someone comes to the congregation, you sit down with them and say, is everything okay where you came from?
Yeah.
Huh? Can you give me a name of somebody I can call to check up on you? Because I don't want to judge you. That makes sense?
I think before things have been happening,
yeah.
There might be a series of things that have happened.
Yes.
There might be an event that passed. Some brethren or mother or sister was in fellowship here, we shall get in this time now.
Yeah.
Instead of he or she to still keep on coming, it is most likely can be changed.
Yeah.
It shifts his base
yeah.
to another condition. And stop coming here.
Yeah.
That's the reason why some congregations now have the right to start congregations. That one of our brothers is 40 and disciplined, so that in case he comes around, he doesn't want to fellowship with him. The series of, for example, where I come from, we are serving people with love. In those days, ancient days when Christianity came in, if you tell your church coming back, you take it in and put it inside the house. Give you the key of the house and go to your work. But recently, you do that, before you come back, they have taken away all your things. Now, you use another method now that if you are coming, you need to call your congregation where you're coming. Do you know this brother?
Yeah.
Is that acting some people it wasn't so.
Yeah.
But because of the event that's happening now,
yeah.
they're now trying to tighten up their security.
Yes.
So like I put somebody in, I should be rest assured that is what is really important.
That's cool. And I'll give you a real life example. When I was a minister, we had a brother who was in charge of the church's finances for years. Yeah. He was faithful for many years. And then he lost his job. What did he do? He started using the church's money. Yeah? And so, over the course of time, somebody said, oh, he was always like that. Huh? The Bible says to test the spirits, to see whether or not they're of God. The Bible also tells us we ought to inspect people's fruit. Yes. You go, if you want to find some of the best titles, you're going to go online and Google it. You're going to go to the shop, you'll ask your mates, well, which one you, Pirelli, Goodyear, which ones, what size? You're going to kick the tires, sisters, you want to find yourself a nice pair of shoes, you're going to ask, well, where do you get those from? Oh, those are nice, what color? And you go to the store, and guess what you're going to do? You're going to get that store clerk, she's going to bring out 50 pairs of shoes. And you're going to walk up and down to see whether or not they fit. Huh? But when we come to the church, we just accept everybody in. No questions asked. So if we do it out there, why don't we do it in here? Huh? You better start inspecting your sheep. Jesus said in John 6, what's it, John 6? It's in John. Just keep reading the whole chapter. You run into it. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and they will not answer another shepherd. Why? Because you built a relationship. So here we got everything going on. You just accept this sheep in here. And you don't know where that sheep came from.
He's a brother. He's a sister. Praise.
Where you come from? Huh? You go for a job, you gotta have what? References. References? Who can vouch for this person? What is their character? Yes.
My brother, well, thank you for this session. But when we were in Italy,
yes.
When brother comes from outside, the leaders
yes.
will call him
yes.
and ask of him where from, and sometimes they write letter through where he came from
yes.
to ask of
a reference
gentleman before they give him
something.
Yeah.
I went to Germany to visit my family there. We saw that one of the brothers came. Because of their sister in church, this brother baptized her in Ghana. This brother, although he is a preacher, immediately they accept him as a preacher. And Brother Smith, I'm telling you how it went. It went bad. Because he's not a preacher. He don't know how to do. And always when he come to the pulpit, he use how's it called? It's not popular, it's not good how it's presented, even the God way. And now, if you ask me where the brother is, he quit from the church, and now you follow one of the ladies to get some documents. So how can we use this brother to stand on the front of the God's ship to preach?
You mean the leaders for that?
Yeah. We ask them questions about that. But, you know, now that this brother is not anymore in the background. Now it's somewhere out from the even Germany. So I think it's better to, if someone comes, before they give him something to do, I think it's better to check a background and see where he's from and who's doing there before. This is my small contribution or question. I don't know if it's a question or
good point. Just,
I think Ghana is quite. I don't know how they go to the world of cuts. When you have a job, you have a going in your heart. You want to make a decision. You have a job to do.
It's temptation. Anyone counting the money should be two or three witnesses. Or to get to the money, you should have two or three witnesses too. You see? So it's not to say that you don't trust me or I don't trust you, but it takes out the temptation. You see that? So on my job, I can authorize up to 250 companies without no questions asked. Yeah? Anything above that needs a manager's approval, and the manager can go to a certain level, and then they can go to another manager. So what for? It takes the temptation out.
It's to help people, right?
Yeah.
I was also thinking that perhaps it wasn't because he lost his job that he started spending from the money. Probably he's been spending, but because he has a source of lending, he could refund.
No, because we check each month. Every month we have a report. So.
My part of the question is, you know, many times the Bible, Jesus, and the apostles compare the church to family. It's a spiritual family where the company is between husband and wife, where the church is the wife, the bride of Christ. In the family setting, according to the New Testament doctrine, there is nothing like divorce. There is nothing like divorce. Even though the relationship goes bad, you have to continue to find a way to work things out. And now when you come to the spiritual body, why do we have a point where there is a divorce? Because...
Is this a divorce? Is this a divorce?
So, disfellowship, what does it represent?
So, what is the purpose of the discipline of separation? What's the purpose of it?
I'm still driving into
it. Okay.
According to Romans, where Paul mentioned what shall separate us from the
love of Christ.
And you know, the Bible also says that, so So you look at all the things you talked about, which are said, whether height or low or anything. And the Bible says, love covereth
a multitude of sins.
So where do we place all of these things in this fellowship? If I cannot, for any reason in the world, disfellowship my wife, why would I?
No, no, you're not disfellowshipping your wife. God is disfellowshipping. Remember, whatever you bind in heaven will be bound on earth. Whatever you loose in heaven will be loose in earth. So it is not you that's disfellowship. That person has already chosen to disfellowship his or herself. So by default, they have disfellowshipped themselves from God. So all we're doing is carrying out what God has already mandated. Yes? The answer to your question is in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 5, we had a situation where a man was with his father's wife. Yeah? Paul said, this sin is not even named among the Gentiles, and he said to disfellowship that person. Yes? Did it work? Did the disfellowship and achieve its purpose? Yes. Because Paul wrote back to the church in Corinth to tell them how to restore that person back to fellowship. And then what he said is that they told him, reaffirm your love for him. Why? Because you know what? One of the hardest problems, and we talked about this last week, I'll leave you on this point. One of the hardest problems is when I may be overtaken in a sin. Yes, I know it's wrong. I've been there. And you're struggling to overcome it. But sometimes when you say, I want to come back, I don't feel like coming back because you all, or we all, judge that person. Huh? And so it's hard because we always say, I know this ain't coming back because. Now, God will forgive us, but sometimes we don't forgive that brother. He stole all your money. He's repented of it. He's trying to make things right. And now he's come back. Because Paul said in 2 Corinthians, lest Satan get a foothold. Sometimes we're struggling against the tongue in our sin. And we're struggling with all our might to keep ourselves afloat. We know what the right thing to do is, but we struggle to do that. But when the person, like the prodigal son, what did the Bible say? When he what? Came. What did he do? He left the father's house, went out and lived in sin, and one day he came to his senses. And when he came in, what did he find? From who? And what else? What about the brother? Come on, that's what happens. And so, his comeback, Lord, don't bring back as a son, but a hired servant. And here's the brother. You never threw me no party. I never left you. I never disobeyed you. That's us. Now what happens? And so we need to, again, what do we say? Honesty and humility. We're going to get to that. Humility. Yes.
You should not go away from what you're saying.
Yeah.
You were leading the family to the church.
Yes.
If the word you're discussing with the church is affirmed.
Yes.
That voice is also affirmed in the area that you are not sending that woman away or the man away. But there may be things you are doing together at home that sometimes you have to be separated for her to get corrected.
Okay.
So you can show it back again.
Yeah.
That was the church did not send the person away to time.
Yeah.
For a brother or sister that really fellowship with the church, understand what fellowship means. When you tell a brother in this fellowship, you will not run away from the church, you will not run away from the church. You will come back with remorse and try to fellowship back to the brethren.
Yeah.
So the same way in the family, if you are husband and are living together, the church, the Bible does not accept divorce. But sometimes you disfellowship yourself in the area for her to be corrected or you must to be corrected. Not throwing the wisdom I can go and marry another person.
Absolutely.
But the brother or sister, the wife, blah, you are doing something together. But that father, my wife is not doing it, you're not getting to me well. That will not call you up to say, what have I done? What is he done? In a way to work, to restore he or she back together in the same family that can be special, as he have already said.
Did I answer your question?
Maybe Senegal song that you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
it was the son that left the house.
Yes.
It was not the father
yes.
that took
but,
him.
But he broke fellowship with the Pope.
So yes. in this case, we are talking about the church
mm-hmm.
to its member.
Yes.
Do you understand?
Yes.
So, you know, according to Paul, the pronouncement will come from the church that you are now disfellowship. So when we say that a brother or a sister is disfellowship, what does it mean in our everyday life?
It means you do not keep company with that person.
So that is very good. Before now, we do not keep company with sin.
Mm-hmm.
We do not keep company with drunkards.
I hate to rush you, but if you have a question, you can ask the question because we have the clues.
Okay, that's my question.
So, what does this fellowship look like? We withdraw association with that person in a public way. We're not going to go on holiday with them. We're not going to go to the mall together. Yeah? We can't stop them from coming into the worship. But I can choose how I spend my time with that individual. That makes sense? And we do that in love. We're not to say, well, I'm better than you. No. Because the purpose for that person to come to their senses and to restore that fellowship with God and with our fellow brothers. Does that make sense?
Yes. I have contribution, but since our time is so we make it go well in this week.
I love it.
Understand them better.
Yeah. So write your questions down, because I'll show you. Amen. Let's pray.